Okay, so Zohar. Let's talk a little bit more about Zohar. Let's make a few points here. So, what exactly was it that they did that was so terrible? Yeah, so as many people point out, the simple pshat in the pasuk, right? Yes, the problem is theological. They didn't fear God, but that expresses itself in Asher kol charba derech vayzanev v'cha kol anecha shalim acharecha. Now Rashi focuses on the fact, right, on the Asher karchaba derech, right, and he has that
they cooled us down.
Correct. The midrashic understanding they cooled us down. We were the first one, right? This was the first battle. But many of the Mepharshim point out that what was really terrible, what they did was that when they attacked, they targeted the weak who were straggling behind, right? Not all of you marathon. What?
It's a good battle strategy.
It's a great battle strategy. It's also a terrible thing to do as a human being.
What? I don't know. It's not any worse than war.
No, that's
okay. So God seems to think that's the reason we hate them for all of eternity. So I'm going to side with God on this one.
Us. I don't think we would have cared if they were down to somebody else.
No, our war strategies are actually pretty right. Are
pretty numbers, guys.
What?
No,
that's soldiers. It's not like you chat. Basically, you start with the women and children who are at the back.
Like a bunch of sins.
What?
And they did kill every man, woman.
No, Shimon, are different.
No, we're not talking about that.
So
sit down. If you're gonna join us, sit down and join us. Well, Ellie.
We'll see what we've done battle with.
I'm just going to read that pasuk again, and you tell me how God doesn't seem to think that this is right? It's Asher karcha baderech vayezenev becha kol necha shalim acharecha v'ata yev yagev elo yarei Elohim. Right? They
didn't fear God.
Because right, because they attacked the weak.
Yeah, they thought we were the strong guys, not God. They should have been fearing God. He's the one who took us out.
The point is,
doesn't matter what clever strategies you get, you're not going to beat God. If you think Bnei Yisrael is the one who beat themselves out, then of course you can beat them.
Right, that's a bad read of Chumash. Do you know what does Yirat Elohim mean in Chumash?
Of Hashem, fear of Hashem.
Wrong. It means being unethical.
Right,
Yirat Elohim is about people who are unethical.
It's like things you can't see in public. Like,
really?
Yes, like by when Avram says to, and Chazal understood this also, right? That when Avram says to Avimelech, I didn't tell you about my wife, Kein Yirat Elohim b'makom hazeh, right? And the Gemara says, yeah, because people don't ask whether you're married before they ask whether you have a place to stay, right? Yirat Elohim is generic. It means fear of God in the ethical sense, right? Like having fear of, right? So actually, lo yirei Elohim mean yes, Elohim means God, but the phrase Yirat Elohim is usually invoked in Chumash to mean morals. Right, to mean ethics, not to mean like ritual, right? Fear of ritual law. It means morality. It means ben on the chaver, not ben on the lamaka. Whether that's an expression of godliness is a different story. But right, the point is that that's what the phrase usually means. Anyone who's listening, it's okay. We're alive.
It's positive.
Their
ears are not.
I like your
ear. Okay, well, continuing after that fire alarm, and now my ears are ringing. So one of the things that's just interesting to note in context is that if I just took Shvi'i of Parshat Ki Teitzeh, which is where Zohar is, what hints might I have that, unlike Eli, the problem here is the lack of fear of God that is expressed through a lack of ethics rather than just the fact that they thought they could overpower God. I just took the last few, like the last... Here, look. Starting Shvi'i. Lo tash shok sachir ani ve'avyon me'achecha o'me'gercha sher ba'aretzecha bish'arecha. Right, and this is in the context of a series of halachot, as is much of Dvarim, of ethical laws, of not taking advantage of the people who are weak in society. Right, so this is Perek Chav Dalid Yudalid, right, is don't oppress the poor. Right? it's about justice. Lo yimtu avot al banim, vanim lo yimtu al avot, ish bechatel yumatu, right? Don't kill people for sins that they weren't responsible for. Lo tatem mishpat ger yatom, lo tachbol beged almana, v'zacharta ki eved ayita b'mitraim, v'tachal ne'el chamisham al-kein, anochim etzavcha, l'asot ere davar hazeh. Right, so here you have, don't oppress the poor or the gerim. Don't punish people for things they don't deserve. Don't twist the judgment of, again, the gerim, the yatom. Leave the poor food, right? All the matnot aniyim. The same by zeitim, ki tachbot zeit chalu teverach harach alager leyatom Then we have some halachot about not attacking, right? Ki yeriv bin anashim v'nikshu, ela mishpat shvatum v'etzdikot atzadik v'yashivet harasha. And then if you skip to the halacha that's immediately before, the halacha immediately before is don't fight dirty. Right? What's the halacha immediately before Amalek?
You miscarry a child by...
You have two people fighting, and one person tries to save her husband, a woman tries to save her husband by grabbing the other person in his genitals. Right? Right, so then cut off her hands, which we assume means, right, Chazal assume means money, but don't have mercy on her. Why? Because she fought dirty. Right? And then it, right? Sorry, that's the two halachot before. And then it's, don't have unjust systems of weights. Right, but if you think about the halach, the three themes that come up just in Shvi'i, right, it's don't oppress the poor and the weak and the disenfranchised. Right? Two is don't fight dirty. Right? And three is ensure that justice is kept. Right? In that context, I think there's also contextual reason to read not like Eli, that right, that God doesn't approve of this battlefield strategy in general. Right? Not like, they fought the Jews with a smart strategy and therefore we hate them. It was that strategy is immoral because it literally combines the elements that are before, right, in the few psukim before, right? Namely, it is against the weak, right? It's fighting dirty, right? And presumably, in general, the problem of pillaging, right, people that you've never had any fight against to then fight them just to make money would be the epitome of lack of justice, right? So the three themes that come up in the last few psukim and devarim seem to point to the fact that it's that the lack of Yirat Elohim isn't just that they happen to fight the Jewish people. That's obviously part of it, and that's what Rashi is getting at, right? That you fought the Jews as they were leaving the tribe. That's what we talked about yesterday. But the second element is that the way you fought the Jews was just antithetical to the fundamental values of God and the Jewish people as expressed over and over and over and over in the Torah, and even more frequently over and over and over in Dvarim, even in just the sort of collection of laws that immediately precede this halacha, right? The one I skipped is Yibum, which you'd say, what the heck does Yibum have to do with anything? Except that's not true, because what is the point of Yibum in the Torah? No, well, maybe, but actually, Pshat is to take care of the brother who died, right? To take care of the person who can't take care of his own legacy, and to take care of his legacy for him, right? It's have mercy on people who are now in unfortunate situations and can't fend for themselves. The ultimate being, he's dead. There ain't much he can do, so you have to to take care of him. So it really does seem like the context in which we bring up these halachot provides a bit of a thematic background to what it is we found so heinous about the way, not just the fact that Amalek attacked us, but the way they attacked us, which adds to our assessment that they are evil incarnate. Which is basically how Torah treats them. I happen to be reading right now the Tolkien's introduction to his basic entire epic world. his entire fantasy world, and the a letter that they published in the beginning of the Silmarillion, where he talks about how this is sort of like this is necessary in any human story, right? There's a reason it appears in all ancient stories, right? Because inherent to the condition of man is at least one evil incarnate that represents all that is corruptible in man, right? It's not like, right, you know, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, in another one of Tolkien's letters, right, he was asked whether the Lord of the Rings is biblical, and he said, not when I wrote it, but in second thought, of course it was, right? Because at some level, right, that's part of any story, right? There is going to be that extreme evil, and part of being religious, right, and part of having a worldview is that you fight war against evil incarnate. Again, whatever Amalek means, right, is a complicated halakhic discussion, right? Whether we...
They seem to be real people, though, given, you know...
Oh, they definitely were real people. The question is, what were they, right? Were they a people? Were they... They were some collection of peoples, right? What exactly is going on historically? What it means halakhically? What it means hashkafically? Right? There's so much there, but the existence of a law that says root out incarnate evil, right, evil incarnate, is sort of par for the course in any ethical system, especially in the ancient world. Correct, and this is why someone, I recently saw an article which drove me nuts, right, about how we should never read The Lord of the Rings because it's racist against orcs. And it was actually a serious article. It was like a philosopher just so opposed to the notion of racism that why do you assume that all orcs are evil, right? They're, right, like, I understand the problem here, right? That is a shtickle problem in the Hanami. I'm not minimizing the problem, but I am just articulating the fact that part of the philosophy here clearly is that it's not just that they fought us, or it's not just that they're our enemy, right?
It's supposed to be Korah B'Shalom.
Okay, and yeah, Rashi and the Rambam is clearly reading this more generously than you might when you read it. Now look, remember, I just want to point out that obviously, by the way, Ellie, what pushes us in this direction of trying to figure out what they did, which is not just attacking us, but is particularly heinous, is the fact that they are treated much worse than other people who you would have thought should have gotten worse treatment. Like Mitzrayim. Right? The Torah doesn't say, they enslaved you, thou shalt not have mercy on them. It says, you were strangers in their land, they took care of you for a bit, so after three generations they can marry in. Or Ammon and Moab, who led to the death of tens of thousands of people by, Moab, by tricking us into committing sexual, crimes, making 24,000 people die because of God's punishment, and nearly annihilating the Jewish people, right? You're like, when did the Jewish people always get annihilated? Because in that... right there, right? Because the pasuk says about Pinchas, "Velo chiliti et bnei Yisrael b'kinati." God said, "Had Pinchas not stopped, it would have led to the annihilation of the Jewish people." So Moab is pretty darn bad. And again,
and they're closer, they're more distant relatives to us than us.
Correct, and we
call them our brothers,
and we let them marry in eventually, right? And Edom, don't hate Edom because they are your brother, right? Like everybody else who did pretty horrible things to us, we have some mercy on. It's Amalek that we don't. So it's clear, I think, you have to explain, this isn't just they attacked us. There were plenty of people who attacked us.
But you think their attacking us was worse ethically than getting their woman to seduce us?
The Torah does. I don't. The Torah does. Right? And I do, because I believe in God. But Moab, we allow to marry, right? We say, okay, Amonit, Moab evil, Moabit. Fine. But we allow them to, marry in eventually, partially, right? We don't have to kill them. Right?
They could convert.
That's...
They don't have to kill Amalek either, according to the Rambam. They can peacefully agree to us.
And we don't have to kill them.
We don't have to kill Amalek either.
I'm on Amalek.
Yes. Okay. If
I have to kill, I thought no.
No. What are you talking about? Only Amalek. They're not even the Shemamimin.
Oh, okay.
They're not even the Shemamimin. So the answer is no. The Torah clearly thinks Amalek is worse than Moab.
Okay.
Right? There is no question about that. The Torah clearly thinks that they are worse than Moab. There is no two ways about that. Okay. Maybe it's worth throwing this out quickly that I think I've mentioned before. I wasn't going to do it, but I will, since it's worth mentioning. But there's a reason that in general, and definitely in the modern period, people spend a lot of time trying to weigh the command of Amalek and trying to figure out how it is ethical, right? There's a reason, because, right?
Crypto exempt.
because it's not just it's everybody, right? Everyone tries to figure it out because it is really quite strange. It does seem, right, meaning we can give as many explanations as we want and we can say, yes, they seem to be doing something that's particularly immoral. But the fact is that the Torah, according to many Rishonim, does not offer them the ability of Shalom. Even if you accept the Rambam, right, once they don't accept Shalom, right, we endorse or obligate genocide. Right? There's a reason this creates a level of moral discomfort, and most people have some level of discomfort with it, except for purists.
Weird. I don't know. They say no to peace, we kill them.
Are you killing women and children?
Can we don't do this to any?
This is Amen.
If they don't leave, I don't understand. But
yeah, we can get them out of their homes.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, people have problems with the Shiva Amim in too. People try to deal with the moral issues of the Shiva Amim in also. This is not like a Molech thing.
I don't mind if they say no to peace, that we kill them. They could have said yes. I don't want to say no. They're bums.
Okay, so it doesn't bother Ellie, but it bothered a lot of other people.
It's not more. We don't kill them.
It obviously, you know, again, Ellie, you can say it doesn't bother you, but that's because you are a purist of law, and you know, morality apparently doesn't interest you. But if it is not I said unless it is right reducible to pure halacha. But most
it sound like a slight moral problem going according to the Rambam because they could have said yes. We'll live in peace.
Okay. So first of all, the fact we do treat them much harsher than we do anybody else in Tanakh, and right, the Rambam is clearly grappling with this question because Pshat in the Torah is not like the Rambam, right? The Rambam is bending over backwards. Now, I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm saying if you read the Torah, you would not get the impression that the Rambam was correct, right? The Rambam is trying to solve a moral problem here, right?
What is happening? We're not alone.
I don't know. I mean, all these things only go sort of a part of the way in explaining it. It is something that requires explanation. I would share with you Rav Lichtenstein's solution to this, but I have to give up on this, so it'll have to wait for another time.